This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Mike, it's a short week for us here on the whole show. We've got today and tomorrow, and then we're going to be taking some time off to regroup, to gather our thoughts before a pretty significant finish for the Broncos coming up. Now the Chiefs game means a lot. The Chargers game is probably not going to be a go ahead and shut her down if Denver wants to get that number one seed. So we'll get into that. Mike, it was kind of a lousy weekend, really. Yeah, kind of. I mean, the Avs won. So that was good, but Denver losing yesterday, 34-20, kind of a slow dominating type of situation for Trevor Lawrence and the Jags. And Lawrence was sacked five times, but other than that, played pretty well. The Nuggets lose to Houston. You got a lot of drama in that game. David Adelman ejected. Kevin Durant talking a lot of smack to Bruce Brown and Tim Hardaway Jr. Peyton Watson has some injury concerns. Some longer-term injury concerns. The Colorado State Rams just absolutely destroyed by Utah State. The UNC Bears drops one to DU. And then the college football playoffs. The teams I was rooting for funsies, in Tulane and James Madison. Tulane, I thought Tulane was going to be the better of the two, but that was a rough go, and yeah, I mean, James Madison put up some points against Oregon.
When they, you know, fourth quarter when Oregon was like, yeah, the game's over. Yeah.
So, again, you're going to have all of your talking heads, your football elitists really lean in on that now because for two years in a row, three G5 schools getting, for the most part, handled. I still think Boise State and Penn State game last year wasn't that bad, but you look at the scores, you put them up next to each other, and you would say not a great showing for G5 schools. And changes will be coming for the college football playoff. I don't know exactly what those look like. We outlined a bunch of those last week. The big question is, are they going to add more teams? Will a G5 still have a seat at the table? Maybe not two. I still think there should be one because there's going to be blowouts on either side, even when we're talking Power 4 games. They're not always the best games either. So a lot to unpack there. Michael, the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. All right. Well, the good, you gotta find the goods where you can. And fortunately, the Colorado Avalanche just continue to dominate. And they win. They win last night 5-1. They handled Winnipeg on Friday 3-2. So the Avs, and when they do lose, it's close, or we're losing in shootouts. So the Colorado Avalanche continue to, I think, lead as far as the parade talk and all of that. The Avs are certainly the front runner in many people's minds as far as the state of Colorado is concerned to be potentially winning another championship and hosting a parade. The bad for me was the Broncos' streak was snapped by the Jacksonville Jaguars. So much for that call. Listen, I thought they could drop one between the Packers and the Jags. I just called it in reverse. This was the more important one not to lose, though, because it is an AFC game. And now the number one seed is suddenly feels like it's wide open. We'll go through that later today and take a look at, I mean, because now the Chargers are in play. The Jags are in play. The Patriots are still in play. Their comeback win over Baltimore. And of course, the Buffalo Bills. They survived the Cleveland game, so they're still in play this weekend. So odds are Denver's going to be playing. They're not going to be resting people for the next 2 weeks, Mike. They got a quick turnaround, too. A lot of injuries are starting to stack up for Denver, and that one's a tough one. And then the ugly, I just want to say it, Hoops. Hoops was ugly. Listen, I'm not like, the Broncos losing to Jacksonville, I'm not sitting here going, oh, there's no chance of winning a Super Bowl now. I mean, Jacksonville proved, I think, that they're, listen, we kind of knew they were good anyway, but getting on the national stage, although it wasn't national stage, and not a lot of people got to see this one, which was such a big game, but we did. And it's going to be a tight finish, man. I tell you, Mike, that game didn't feel like a 14-point game until it kind of did. In the fourth quarter, Denver was still making stops. However, Jacksonville was converting some third downs to move the ball and take up more time. And that proved to be too much for this Broncos offense to come back. I mean, you kept thinking maybe there's going to be some magic when the Broncos had the ball with 8 minutes left, down 14. But just couldn't convert, just couldn't get down the field. Bo, I thought, was fine. Had the fumble, had the late interception.
Had that pass over the middle that...
to Pat Bryant.
You can't put your receiver out.
See, and I have a thought on that, because the defender on the play was Mon-Eric Brown, right? He was kind of out of camera. I mean, I'm watching and it almost looked like he's hidden there. There's another receiver over the top with a corner or with a safety. And then Brown kind of came out from underneath the play. And yeah, you're throwing a ball in the middle of the field in a meaningless situation. And that was a scary one. And it looked... I mean, it didn't, obviously it wasn't helmet to helmet, but did he hit a defenseless receiver is the question I think that had a lot of Broncos fans upset.
Yeah, well, nobody knows what a defenseless receiver is.
We don't know what that means, right?
Yeah, I mean, 10 years ago, everybody would have been like jumping out of their chairs.
Yeah, it would have been, that would have been unjacked up, on ESPN's
Now you don't know whether it's a defenseless hit. My opinion is... it was a clean hit.
Yeah, I tend to lean that way as well. At first, it looked bad, but then when you watch the replay, I thought it worked out. The refs weren't good in this game.
They weren't good, no.
But the Broncos were worse on the defensive side. You know, just missed tackles, guys sliding all over the. I mean, Riley Moss was sliding all over the field last night.
Yeah, you saw a lot of guys like, I'm going to make this tackle. Oh, I took a bad angle.
And in the first half, I thought the opposite. Like, I thought they were making a lot of good tackles. But it just, as the game went on, I mean, they got to Trevor Lawrence 5 times, Mike. So it was, they kind of reminded me of what I talked about with Green Bay's defense 2 weeks ago, was Green Bay's either going to sack you or... They're gonna not put any pressure on the quarterback. Now the Broncos did hit Trevor Lawrence a lot, but it was a lot of it was in that first half. I mean, they got to him, they hit him 14 times, sacked him 5, but a lot of that was in that first half. You saw as this game progressed. I think even the commentators are talking about it, saying it's going to be a feeling out type of game for a while, and it did feel like once we got into that second half, the Jaguars figured something out. You know, we get into the half and it's 17-17. Start up that third. It was 17-10 at the half. My bad. Denver marches right out the gates, and then you get that long R.J. Harvey touchdown run to tie this up. Jacksonville not immediately, they take a nice long drive, a 5-minute-plus drive to answer. Denver punts the next possession. Jacksonville goes down and scores again on a quick drive, 2-minute drive, 4 plays, 80 yards. And that's when then the Broncos get the ball back. It's 31-17. That's when Bo Nix fumbles the ball. Jacksonville starts the fourth quarter with a field goal. Denver matches the field goal, but it's 34-20. Defense was coming up with some stops that they needed to.
But not in the red zone.
Not in the red zone. And not when it was like crunch time on third down. Trevor Lawrence looks the part, man. The guy is, I mean, he doesn't turn the ball over much. And here's the thing with Denver. If they want to win the Super Bowl, Mike, they don't turn it over. Like, their defense doesn't create turnovers, is what I'm saying. So when you turn it over and you give those bonus possessions, even with a really great defense, who's certainly getting into that December lull that they got into last year, it makes it tough. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Aaron says our offense needed to take control of that game in order for them to win, and they just couldn't do it. Well, that was one of those games where it kind of felt like, okay, defense was pretty good in the first half, gave up 17, not amazing. But now in the second half, you're going to need the offense to pick it up. And you just didn't get there. I didn't think Bo was that bad. They don't have a run game, even though R.J. Harvey made some great plays, Mike. He had the 38-yarder, but outside of that, he had 12 yards. He had 7 carries for 50 yards. He was averaging 7.1 yards per carry, but most of that was on the big touchdown, which was an amazing play. And Harvey played well catching the ball out of the backfield, too, over 70 yards receiving. I like R.J. Harvey. I think he's going to be an important piece for Denver. But this has kind of also told me, no matter what happens in the offseason, Denver's going to have to find that true kind of number one running back, whether that is J.K. Dobbins coming back for another year, or you look for someone in free agency, now you go to the draft and get the guy that's going to take over. RJ just doesn't seem like he's going to be, at this stage in his career, which is early, he's going to be the guy that you can count on to carry the ball 17, 20-plus times a game. Cortland Sutton had a nice game, 6 receptions for 86 yards and a touchdown, but a lot of that was early as well. Bo just had a couple of misses. He had some misses in that second half, Mike. He had guys open, but some of those throws looked like the struggles he was dealing with early in the season. But where are we at on this one? I mean, Jacksonville came in. You know, you heard Liam Cohen respond to Sean Payton's comments about, you know, Jacksonville's a good team. They're in a small market, but they're a good team. Liam Cohen kind of fired back. Not bad for, what did he say? Something like, not bad for a small market team to go into Denver, big market, and win. Liam Cohen has got this team rolling in his first year. I mean, it's pretty wild. And Trevor Lawrence seems to look, he looks as good as he's ever looked in the exact right time. Where's your, like, panic button meter on Denver at this stage being able to go into the playoffs? I think before the Green Bay game, there were still a lot of people doubting this team, saying, well, everybody you beat, you kind of caught them at maybe the right time. Well, no, not the case against Green Bay. Then here's this other test against Jacksonville, and you end up losing 34-20. It wasn't an awful game. The score makes it look a little bit worse, but it wasn't just timely turnovers. Timely for the Jaguars. You know, it worked out for them. But I do think Trevor Lawrence is starting to establish himself as one of those top-tier quarterbacks, and Bo is still, you know, 352 yards, but he threw it 47 times, Michael. He was sacked once, and his QBR was pretty low, 31. It just wasn't one of those great games for Bo Nix. It wasn't awful. Not really putting it on him. Defensively, though, here's the concern, Mike. You're dealing with a lot of injuries now. And that, I mean, dating back to November 22nd, opposing quarterbacks have done this against Denver. So week 11, Patrick Mahomes was 29-45, 276 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. In week 13 against Marcus Mariota, 28-50, 295 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. Geno Smith and Kenny Pickett, 21-21, 213 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And these are in those late game situations too. Jordan Love, 24 of 40, 276 yards, a touchdown, two picks. Trevor Lawrence, 23 of 36, 279 yards, three touchdowns. In total, that's an average of 267.6 yards per game and nine touchdowns against four interceptions. We've got the Lawnster on the First Advantage Hotline. What's happening, my friend?
Hey, how you doing, Brady?
You know, it was kind of a rough weekend, Lawnster. It was a rough weekend.
It was, but you know what? I enjoyed it no matter what.
What did you enjoy about it? What did you enjoy about it, Lawnster?
You know, I enjoyed just watching some football playoffs a little bit, you know. And then the NFL games, that Green Bay game was the best. It was a good one there Saturday night.
Yeah. Caleb Williams has been really good.
Yeah, it was. But going into overtime and then Chicago finds a way to win that thing.
Yeah.
That made it right there.
No, you know? We've had some really intense games. And again, there's just a lot of playoff meaning to this Christmas weekend coming up. It should be a really exciting weekend in the NFL. But Denver's got to handle a Kansas City team that's going to be on their third quarterback.
You know what? Yeah, and then I think Sean needs to do a better job of play calling a little bit. I'm not impressed with some of his play calls at times.
Well, it's the same kind of deal offensively. There's no real commitment to the run game. Even, I mean, 34-20 until we're at the 6-minute mark, it's never really a blowout. But again, the Broncos have no run game. RJ Harvey's playing well, but it's not like a consistent, oh, we're gonna wear you down with our running back.
Yeah, they need some different running backs. That's where he needs to throw that ball to different players, not the same one over and over again.
Yeah. Lawnster, what's for lunch today, man?
What is for lunch?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to have some chicken tenders and some crackers and some cherry tomatoes.
Sounds pretty good, man. It sounds like a standard Lawnster type of lunch.
You know what? It don't get better than that. But, I noticed, too. Can I make one more comment?
Yeah, you sure can. Yeah.
You know, every time we play Jacksonville, that has been a team that always gives them a problem.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Dating back to the mid-90s when they just started.
Yeah, because remember when we played them for the playoffs, we lost that one?
Yeah. Yeah, Jacksonville, they seem to enjoy playing Denver when it means something, when both teams are kind of in that playoff world.
Mm-hmm. It seems like Jacksonville's got Denver's number for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know why, because why completely different organization than they were all those years ago, and just it seems like every time Denver has to face them in a meaningful type of game, a lot of times Jacksonville has their number.
Yeah, they really do, you know.
Yeah. Lawnster, hey, man, Merry Christmas, my friend.
You know what? Hey, Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Yeah, you too, man. All right. Have a good one, man.
Thanks. You
do. I'm not, Mike, I'm not like, I still think with Denver, anybody in the AFC can win the whole thing. I'm really curious to see how they show up Thursday. This should be a dog walk, man. This should be a blowout. Denver should absolutely destroy Kansas City. But then they're going to have to, you're going to get your wish. There's going to be no resting guys. You won't be rusty going into the playoffs. But, if Denver wins out, if they win their next two games, they got it. They are in control of their destiny, Michael. If they beat the Chiefs and then they beat the Chargers, Denver will be the number one seed. You can't drop it against Kansas City. You can't. And I know Mahomes is gone and Minshew, all that stuff, like, you have to prepare for this game like it is a playoff game because that home crowd for Denver, I mean, Mike, that was electric. That's the loudest. I mean, I wasn't there, but I'm watching on TV. That was loud. That might be the loudest place this year. So having that home field advantage throughout is going to be huge. Doesn't mean you can win every game at home. Obviously, Jacksonville, they struggled with the noise at first, and then they calmed it down. That was a well-coached football team. Jacksonville's a well-coached football team right now. But it doesn't necessarily deter me from thinking Denver can win at all. But when I say well-coached, Jacksonville had two penalties for 20 yards. Denver had six for 61. And that's kind of a rough go. Red zone, you talked about it. They were 4 of 5 in the red zone. On third down, Jacksonville was 8 of 15. And a lot of those were in crucial, crucial moments of this football game. When you needed those stops. And they did. Denver's defense did get those stops. But not after Jacksonville would get a couple of first downs to really milk that clock. And then, of course, at the end, rather than trying to kick a field goal to make it a three-score game, they punt it and you pin Denver back and that's it. Now we're just going to watch Denver try to heave it up. And was it a good idea to have that Pat Bryant play? I mean, I like trying to score. You never know what can happen. But I know Bo looked a little shaken up after that Pat Bryant thing. He is out of the hospital. But it's going to be a concussion, so obviously he's not going to go Thursday against Kansas City. I think the scary thing for me for Denver as they get into the playoffs is going to still be where is that rushing attack? And that's why the loss of J.K. Dobbins turned out to be such a big issue. Dixon dog walk. Be careful. They should. Come on. It's your junior varsity. They have nothing to play for, Dixon. Come on. I don't know. I'm not like, it should be a dog walk. It should be. But now you have me kind of going, all right, now there's a lot of meaning behind this. If they would have taken care of Jacksonville, all they would have to do is win on Christmas, and then they've got the first round bye. But now it's sure looking like, because I've got the matchups coming up. The Chargers play, they play host to the Texans. That's not a gimme. The Jags now are going to certainly be in the conversation for a first-round bye for the number one seed. Jags are at the Colts, and we all kind of know where the Colts sit right now. They play tonight. Patriots at the Jets. Patriots should win that game. The Bills host the Eagles. That'll be an interesting one, but I mean, yeah, if Denver wins Thursday and all of those teams behind them, now the Jags included, lose, then you've got the number one seed. But I just can't imagine it's going to go down that way. In fact, this weekend was the opposite of what you needed. You lost, plus everybody you needed to lose won. So it is very much a down-to-the-wire kind of situation going forward for the Broncos. We'll get into more of that. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffaloes, is going to join me in the 12 o'clock hour. Get his thoughts on the state of college football, college sports in general, how he sees potentially the college football playoffs going. And we'll unpack that. We'll talk about the Nuggets, too. The Nuggets losing to Houston. That game was awesome, though. I don't like the result. But that kind of game, I think, is very, very good for the NBA. And I owe Kevin Durant an apology, and I'll talk about what I mean coming up next. Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. First off, they want to say Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all that stuff. Wishing you all a prosperous new year. The drink of the week at On the Rocks Liquor is eggnog. Of course, offerings from Evan Williams or the new Fireball Eggnog. And then with New Year's fast approaching, don't drop the ball before the ball drops on the new year. Head on down to On the Rocks Liquor for your champagne toast with a wide selection of both champagne and several of your favorite spirits there available. Best way to ring in the new year is to stop by On the Rocks Liquor. Open until 10 o'clock on New Year's Eve. 28 minutes after the hour, Michael, we'll jump out. We'll take a quick break here. What's next for Denver after losing to Jacksonville? How did it go down? Are we more concerned defensively than we were a month ago? Nick Benito said it, man. He said he played like ass. Maybe they needed this. Maybe they needed this wake-up call, especially on the defensive side. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Games and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I mean, that's Chris Cornell there, Mike, but what is that?
I told you Thursday there's a bad album. Chris Cornell has a bad album.
He
and you doubted me.
I didn't doubt you on that.
That's a bad album.
Chris Cornell individually.
It's Chris Cornell's individual album.
Can you let me finish? Can you let me finish? Chris Cornell individually, which I said on Thursday, his albums were never amazing because they were produced a lot of times by hip hop people and all that kind of thing. So I could have told you that, Mike. But Thursday, when we were looking for Seattle-type music, I just thought you might go with Soundgarden. But instead, you wanted to go with like his pop albums that he kind of did. So, but no, that's you. You didn't look at the right stuff. That's fine.
No, I didn't. I went with Nirvana.
Right. But I was saying Soundgarden, not necessarily Cornell in his solo albums. Not that some of those weren't bad. They weren't bad, but a lot of them were... not necessarily Cornell.
Like they don't like that song does not match his great
correct
voice.
You want pure instruments behind underneath Chris Cornell, man. You don't need that poppy
that
whatever
fluttering
the keyboards
underwater.
And yeah, no. I could have told you that, Mike, if you would just listen. If you pay attention to me when I'm talking to you, then you would be fine. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Dixon says Vegas and everybody thought the Texans would dog walk the Raiders. Okay, so Dixon, what are you saying, man? You bringing some trash talk into this? Because we know, hey, listen, man, the Chiefs have nothing to play for. So they're going to want to get up for this game before they go ahead and wrap up the year. I'm not saying it's not real. Like, that's not something to be a bit concerned about. But who is the quarterback? Who's going to be the quarterback then? The guy from South Dakota State. How do you say it? Nixon, how do you say it? Aladikin? Duradikin? Aladikin? Is that what it is?
Do-a-diddy-diddy.
Are you worried about this game at all, Mike?
No. I was hoping it would be Garner Minshew, and then the Broncos could knock him out again.
Well, that's not nice. I don't want people to get knocked out on purpose.
No, but like the Broncos got him benched, and then the Broncos faced him again because the Broncos knocked the other guy out. Broncos are a Raider quarterback killer.
Man, I don't know. That game just had me at the time of when it's 34-20 and Denver's got the ball with like 8 minutes. I'm going, all right, there's probably a chance here. There's probably some magic here still. And then when Bo throws the pick and then Jacksonville gets a couple of first downs to really wear down that clock, I'm thinking, okay, it's probably going to be a loss. Here we go. But how do I feel about it? At the time, I got to admit, it was like, maybe they needed this. Maybe they needed a wake-up call. Lose to the Chiefs somehow on Thursday, and then it's like, all hell breaks loose. Because that game, even though it doesn't have much meaning for the Chiefs other than just trying to spoil the Broncos' hopes of getting the number one seed, which maybe that's enough to get up for. But it has a lot of meaning for the Denver Broncos. I'll get into the standings. It is wide open. Denver's 12-3. New England's 12-3. The Broncos have the tiebreaker over New England based on best win percentage in common games, the Raiders game. Denver beat the Raiders twice. New England lost to the Raiders. Jacksonville's 11-4. If Denver drops the game to Kansas City and Jacksonville wins against the Colts, Jacksonville would have the tiebreaker over Denver because of head-to-head. The Los Angeles Chargers are in the same boat as well. If Denver loses and the Chargers win, they host the Texans, though. So that's a bigger game. The Chargers would have the tiebreaker over the Broncos for the moment because they beat Denver. The Buffalo Bills are playing the Eagles. this week. Now, again, if they lose that and Denver loses to Kansas City by chance, there is still a chance that Denver, if they lose to the Chargers, all bets are off. I mean, the Bills are still right there. They're sitting at 11-4. They're 8-3 in the division. If they beat the Eagles, all that would do is give them a 12-4 record. And that doesn't help with the division race there. So bottom line is you're going to be – you've got three teams, Mike. Three teams. No, four teams now. You got Chargers, Jags, Pats, and Bills. Four teams with a somewhat of a realistic shot to get the number one seed. They're all going to be cheering for the Chiefs. They're all going to be cheering for the Chargers included, if they can pull off wins this weekend. It is going to come down to the final game of the season. 40 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's jump out. And, well, we hope it does, right? You hope you beat the Chiefs, and then the Chargers game means everything. Win that, you got the number one seed. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
That is the unofficial Spencer Jones song that we'll try to play when he has great games. He did not have a great game against Houston the other night. 9 points for him, 1 of 5 from the three-point line. Not a lot of people had a great game against the Houston Rockets over the weekend. But I'll tell you, man, Kevin Durant beefing with his former teammate, Brucey Bruce, and Tim Hardaway Jr., I watched Kevin Durant's post game, and I've never been like all in on. Now, I got pissy with Kevin Durant because he was so pissed off at people like me. Not that he knows who I am, but people like me that were, and probably you were mad about this too, Michael, but I was rooting for Nikola Jokic in the Olympics. I was rooting for the Joker. I know I don't really care about Olympic basketball. I like all the other stuff. I watch enough basketball throughout the seasons for college and the NBA. Kevin Durant was pretty spicy with people for rooting or for cheering on Joker and cheering on Serbia. And then he said, Kevin Durant's pretty aggressive on his social media stuff, and he can get after it. So I was kind of like, dude, I'm out on KD. You know, I'm done with that guy. But I listened to his post game. This is exactly what I'm looking for in basketball. This is what I want. There was fighting. There was jawing back and forth. There was real like sports hate going on between Bruce Brown and KD, and throw Tim Hardaway Jr. into the mix too. Bruce Brown said early Saturday evening after the loss, "I wish there was fighting in basketball. I wish we didn't get fined." Kevin Durant had a small group of reporters around him, and he said, I definitely wanted to cross the line. That's basketball. That's in between the lines. Ain't no respect. Ain't no love. Nothing. If people don't show love to me, the Nuggets, cross the line a lot with their physicality. You know what I'm saying? Now, Bruce was saying that KD crossed the line. He said there's certain things that you just don't say to another man. There's a bunch of things I've seen online of what KD actually said. Yeah, man. It didn't sound like it was good. Didn't sound like it was good. And then KD's telling basically the whole time, Bruce misses an outside shot. KD says, "Get scoot in. That's not your shot." Called him a bunch of other expletives. Brown got in Durant's face at one point during a Rockets timeout. Durant pointed at the floor. Then he put a finger in Bruce Brown's face. And that was, I believe, when he said, "Don't shoot from here, you shoot from there," telling him where to shoot, all this stuff. David Adelman gets ejected in this game. He gets two technicals. He chased after the ref. Adelman said, "I wanted answers, and I ended up having to leave." He didn't leave fast enough, so they're like, "Get the hell out of here." I for one, I don't like the loss. I knew it was a big game, but I like this sense of, I think it brings a sense of togetherness, like Bruce Brown back in the fold, bring Tim Hardaway Jr. in. These guys are battling for each other. But I just want to say for like Kevin Durant, this is the kind of stuff I think the NBA needs. You know, Adam Silver likes to talk about expansion and European basketball and beginning of the season cups and painting courts and doing all these fun, goofy things, changing the All-Star game. I've always said you got to fix the game. I don't think you can necessarily manifest a rivalry, but having guys like KD piss you off on the floor, that makes everything more exciting. This is why I always was a fan of Russell Westbrook. When he came to Denver, I was a fan of Russell Westbrook well before he was a Denver Nugget because, you know, I loved to hate him. He added a little extra juice every game he played in. And Kevin Durant's kind of that villain-type role that I think is great for the NBA. Rockets fans are going to tell you Bruce Brown is probably a villain. Not same caliber of player, obviously. But it was a rough one because it was the Nuggets' first loss by more than 10 points this season. It was kind of just one of those nights for the Nuggets. Reed Sheppard had 28 points off the bench, 6 three-point makes in kind of toward the end of the game too. It wasn't great. It wasn't an amazing game. And of course, the foul calling, the physical nature, back to when they played earlier in the week, and Udoka's going off on the Nuggets and the referees, and Adelman basically said, "Yeah, they planted the seed early to watch this game, to look for more ticky-tack stuff by the Nuggets." I still like the Nuggets trying to play this physical brand of basketball, trying to play this physical brand of defensive basketball. And Joker fouled out in this one. It was he came close to fouling out. My bad. He had 5 fouls, but he was playing with that 5th foul. Felt like he fouled out. Did return, didn't foul. But, you know, you had Joker in deep foul trouble. You know, Bruce Brown, obviously in foul trouble. This is a physical matchup. Man, that would be a fun playoff series, wouldn't it? Denver and Houston. 11:51 the time. We'll wrap up hour number one. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we got top stories of the day. Mark Johnson will join us, give us his thoughts. Now, he's a Big 12 guy, right? So what does he think about how the games went this weekend, what that ultimately means for college football playoffs? And with him, you never know what we're going to talk about. I like to talk about the business of college athletics, and not many better to do that with than Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
For Hall of Fame Preps Talk, listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Shout! Shout! Let it all out! These are the things I can do without.
All right, you know tomorrow we're going to have to do some Christmas music, right, Mike? It's our last show before Christmas, so you're going to have to bite the bullet and not be who you are, Mr. Scrooge.
Bah humbug.
Yeah, I don't want any of that. Very excited for, you know, just family time. Hanging out, doing Christmas stuff. And although it's going to be like 60 degrees on Thursday, Michael, that doesn't... A lot of people like that, man. I want it to feel like Christmas, and at night it does, but when it's going to be really freaking nice out and it's gonna feel like spring, I don't know. So we'll keep our eyes on it. Maybe something will change in the forecast. Likely not. Gonna be nice and toasty on Thursday. Hope everyone's set to have a wonderful Christmas and poised to wrap up the new year the right way. All right, so whole show powered by Chevron coming up next. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, top stories of the day, all that and more. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.